Atheist Nomads, episode 371, Masks and Fires.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to the episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin, and joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
So, I'd have to say I am definitely a bit distracted from the normal stuff by the fact that the area I grew up is on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. The West.
Yeah.
The West is on fire.
You know, and this is something it's been normal for me throughout my adult life for there to be major fires within, you know, say 50 or 100 miles of the home I grew up in.
Yeah. That's pretty regular nowadays.
Yeah. Since the Biscuit Fire that, you know, burned like 400,000 acres. And was raining down ash on my car while I was in England. It's been, yeah, every couple years, there's a big, big fire. And right now, there are a bunch of big fires. And towns and cities that I know well that have been wiped off the map.
Yeah, some of the pictures are pretty disturbing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not just right where I grew up. It's not just southwestern Oregon. Obviously, there's fires in on the other side of the Cascades. There's fires further north near Eugene. There's fires that wiped out Detroit and surrounding areas in Oregon near Salem. There's a fire coming down off of Mount Hood towards Estacada.
You keep talking about Detroit, places like Detroit and Phoenix, and it's very confusing.
Detroit and Phoenix in Oregon.
Yes.
Not Arizona or Michigan. Like many places in the West, they were named after the other place in many cases.
Well, that's a dumb way to name places.
That's one reason why there's so many Salems and Springfields.
That's a dumb, yeah. Come on, people. Be original.
And in Ontario, in both Oregon and California. But anyway.
In Canada.
Those are both named after the Ontario and Canada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See? Confusion.
And then up in Washington, there's some as well. But yeah, the one around Portland, you've got a fire burning down into the Portland metro area. The ones in southern Oregon, heading towards where my niece lives. Burning right up I-5 towards downtown Medford. Coming down through Shady Cove and Eagle Point, and then there's all the California fires that are still getting worse.
Yeah. Our only saving grace is that it's all blowing out to the ocean.
Yeah, yeah. That's good for us here, because normally all that smoke would be blown
here in the
right
valley,
here.
And that sucks. We got that going for us.
Yeah. It's actually common when there's a fire in Grants Pass for Boise to have worse air quality than Grants Pass. This time it's all blowing the other way. My parents are okay. They actually did have a small fire right by their house today, but that was extinguished quickly. By the sounds of it, I'm going to guess it was a vehicle issue on the freeway, and a fire crew responded immediately. It sounds more like it was a vehicle accident. My parents saw somebody being removed from the vehicle, and then the fire crews that had just put out a fire, and they'd found out there was an issue because my sister had gotten a call from my stepbrother's ex-girlfriend, who's a dispatcher, saying there's a fire right by their house.
So-and-so told so-and-so who told so-and-so.
Yeah, it's...
Your house is on fire, and, yeah.
Well, and then...
Scary.
Yeah, and apparently it's the quality of the news coverage about this is just garbage, at least from what I've seen. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of it's because the people doing the reporting are needing to evacuate themselves.
Yeah, they're either evacuating or their normal places of business are evacuated and they're on the road, or who knows? It's hard to keep up with fires that are going that fast.
Yeah. There's some footage that's just a camera looking over the valley with a police scanner just playing all of the fire crews' conversations.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it's going that fast.
Yeah.
It's insane. But yeah, here in Boise, everything's fine.
Yeah.
Not only that, but we have been moved from condition red to yellow for COVID-19. So schools are going to now be doing a hybrid reopening. Half-time in class, half-time online. And bars who agree to follow the rules will be allowed to reopen again.
Yeah. I just really hope people don't swamp them like they did before.
If they do, then that bar would not be following the rules.
True.
And would not be allowed to be open. But we have some news. Let's go ahead and start off with a story that is very much the old normal, not this new horrible normal.
Okay.
Yeah. In the eastern Pakistani city of Lahore, a court has sentenced a Christian man to death for the crime of blasphemy. The accusation came from his former boss, and he's been in Asif Pervaiz has been in custody since 2013.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah.
Held indefinitely.
And this was over his former boss accusing him of sending blasphemous text messages.
Wow. Don't ever try to be friends with your boss.
Pervaiz claims that no, his boss was trying to proselytize him.
Oh, man. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And in certain Islamic countries like Pakistan, okay, in most countries that have any real form of Sharia law, rejecting or refuting or arguing against or asking a Muslim to stop trying to proselytize to you is blasphemy.
Why?
Rejecting the proselytizing is blasphemy.
What?
Because it is the true message of God that Muhammad is his prophet. And if you refuse to accept that Muhammad, that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet, then you are, that's blasphemy to reject that.
What does that have to do with proselytizing?
Because if you try to convert somebody and they reject your attempt to convert them, they are going to reject that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. But and by doing so are committing blasphemy.
Okay. Yeah, that follows with the nonsense.
Convert or die.
Yep.
Yeah, and Pervaiz denied that the charges were accurate, denied committing any blasphemy, but if blasphemy can be as vague as rebuffing proselytizing attempts, then there's no defense against it.
Yeah, there is. Well, that's exactly it. I mean, that's why people are in prison for years and years, and why people are still killed for it these days, because there is no there's no defense.
Mm-hmm. And it took 7 years to get a death sentence. That is a slow-moving court process.
Yeah, well, they probably have a lot that they need to dig through.
Oh, man. Currently, there are at least 80 people in Pakistani prisons for the crime of blasphemy. At least half of those people have life sentences or are waiting awaiting execution. And the vast majority of those are Muslims. Or ex-Muslims. Or the wrong kind of Muslim.
Yeah, yeah, this is kind of a crime against humanity.
Uh-huh. You know, if you are to a Muslim, a Christian saying that Jesus is the Son of God is blasphemy. To a Christian, a Muslim saying that Jesus is not the Son of God, but was a good man and a great prophet, is blasphemy.
Yeah.
A Jew saying Jesus was just a rabbi is blasphemy to both.
Yeah.
And that's before you even get to atheists, Hindus, Buddhists.
Right. It's not a sustainable way of living. There's always somebody to execute.
Yeah.
They need a anti-Islamic revolution, I guess.
Some secularism?
Yeah, that's the word. Get back to where they were in like the 70s, 60s and 70s. And anybody doing business with those countries should stop.
Yeah. And what's ironic is Pakistan's current best friend, so to say, is China, a country who is actively trying to erase their Muslim minority.
Yes. But when it comes to money, it doesn't matter.
Yep. When it comes to money and also the enemy of
your
enemy. And
they're probably the wrong kind of Muslim.
I think the bigger thing for Pakistan is that China is an enemy of India. And India is Pakistan's enemy. Therefore, China is much better. And, okay, getting into, you know, because it's fucking 2020, of course this is happening. American Atheists is looking into some complaints they've gotten about public school provided online learning.
Yeah.
Specifically, this is with Cincinnati Public Schools, with courses taught by Eduidity, a private company that describes itself as part of Alpha Omega Publications, which is, quote, a leading provider of pre-K to 12 Christian curriculum, educational resources, and services to Christian schools and homeschool families worldwide. End quote.
That's because 90% of homeschooling stuff, online only education, is Christian geared towards that. And public schools, a lot of them either didn't bother to vet the educational stuff that they signed up for, or knew about it and decided to say, oh, well, F it, we need something.
It looks like it's even worse than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 2019, Eduinity was claiming 4 million students in their programs, with its products and services being used in each of the top 10 largest school districts and 21 of the top 25 school districts in the U.S. School districts means public schools.
Yeah.
So, a lot of public schools.
That includes the charter schools. Technically, they can claim...
Okay,
if one charter school was using the math section of their program that didn't have any mention of Christianity whatsoever, that they could still count that.
What they've been finding is... In particular, it's being used for social studies.
See, that's a big red flag right there.
With a third grade module on ancient Hebrew culture.
Okay.
That's actually just Bible stories.
Yep, okay. So, sinking ship.
With Joseph and his multicolored coat.
Oh my God.
And the Tower of Babel.
Oh my God.
Which requires recounting the story, transcribing a summary, drawing a pictorial representation of the tower, and explaining Yahweh's motivations.
Yeah, he's a dick.
For third grade public school social studies.
So what parents are rebuffing this? This is...
Before we get to that...
I would be pissed.
Eighth grade U.S. history talks about the Great Awakening and then uses it to present sermons promising eternal suffering for sinners, talking about the, quote, full of the fire of wrath, and you hang by a slender thread, divine wrath, singe it and burn it. And talking about the afterlife in depth.
Wow.
For U.S. history for eighth graders. So several parents in the Cincinnati School District have contacted American Atheist about this.
Good.
What this all suggests is that this has been in place for years. Parents are just now seeing it.
I guess that's what happens when you actually pay attention to your kids' homework, because they're stuck at home. I know that you and I are probably going to be hawks about Kylie's homework for this exact shit.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has the ability to do that. You have to trust that the school is doing the right thing, that the kid's doing their homework. You just are just happy to see that there is a paper in a backpack in the morning. Going to school with them.
Right.
you don't look at what's on there. You don't have the time for that. But it just blows my mind. By third grade, I was actively not standing up for the Pledge of Allegiance because it had Under God on it. What third grader wouldn't question some of this stuff and bring it up with their parents?
Yeah.
What eighth grader would dare let this slide? By eighth grade, you're already into rebellion. So you're going to say, this is bullshit. I don't have to do this.
Yeah, it's...
Cincinnati, what? Come on.
Well, if they're in all of the top 10 largest school districts, they're in New York City.
Yeah.
They're in Los Angeles.
And then these...
Houston.
Like I mentioned before, the resources that that school districts need are limited, especially when it comes to free or cheap ones. So they may be using modules that have nothing to do with Christianity. It's still supporting that company, which sucks balls. But if social science,
but it sounds like history, the modules actually
any biology classes, science classes, those are all questionable now.
And
look at the syllabi.
And I went to Christian schools. I know they got a lot of Christianity into almost every class. Math's kind of a hard one to do that with.
Math is just about the only one. But even like U.S. history, founding fathers bullshit, that's, you find that everywhere. I can't think of, besides math, and the hard sciences, I can't think of.
Oh, you get in the hard sciences too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you'd have to, because that's the only creation way to explain. There's. Okay. I was thinking more physics, chemistry.
Physics, definitely.
Oh.
Because physics also is where you get the Big Bang. And.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah.
It just reminds me too much of what I had to grow up with.
Yeah. And.
And American Atheists and FFRF should be on this.
Uh-huh.
And every school district in the country needs to be held up to public school standards.
The standards need to be more explicit to not allow this.
Yep. Well, there'll always be people who get around it by just ignoring the standards. Or having some body in Texas rewrite the standards.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Let's work on this. Let's actively work on this year.
Well, Texas has a chance of flipping this year.
Yeah.
And if Texas goes blue, so will their Board of Education, which means their textbooks... Their curriculum will be rewritten to be more fact and science based.
Our education system is so effed up based on the fact that we buy all of our textbooks from one area. It's so ridiculous.
You'd think California would be... Like, California, New York, Washington... And a couple other states
literally
would be
anybody
enough
else.
To dominate that. But nope, Texas has a huge amount of pull.
That's the there's only so many mass textbook makers.
All right, so we talked a few years ago now about the schism between the Russian Orthodox Church and the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, i.e. the rest of Eastern Orthodoxy, that occurred over the Ecumenical Patriarch elevating the Primate of Kiev or Kiev to Patriarch and giving him the title of Patriarch of Kiev and all Rus.
Nobody wants to be referred to as the primate. That's just...
Primate, in that context, means the top leader for an...
Oh, I get it. From context, I understood what you meant, but it's still funny.
It is funny. The title was specific because the Patriarch of Moscow has claimed, among other titles, Patriarch of Kiev and all Rus. Actually, they would claim Kiev and all Rus because it's Kiev in Russian and Kiev in Ukrainian. Because they claim to be... The Patriarch of Moscow claims to be the direct successor to the old Patriarchate of Kiev before the Mongols.
Which died out from them.
Which actually did move to Moscow. To Moscow. It did move at that point, and the... Orthodoxy has continued, and as Ukraine and Russia have come and gone in their relations with each other, and Ukraine is wanting to be more independent of Russia, and Russia is not wanting to let them out of their... Well, has been trying to steal their land, has been stealing their land. It would make sense that Ukraine would want to have their church be separate, and they got the Ecumenical Patriarch to agree. So that has caused The Russian Orthodox Church.
Wait, are we talking recently?
This is last year, year before.
Okay.
Yeah, this is recent.
Okay.
So now, okay. His Holiness Patriarch Filaret of Kyiv and all Rus Ukraine, earlier this year, claimed that COVID-19 was God's punishment for gay marriage.
Okay, yeah, that Ukraine, many have said that.
Ukraine does not have legal gay marriage. Russia doesn't.
Right.
And most countries directly around Ukraine do not. That's much more of a Western thing.
Yeah.
Well, it was announced on September 4 that he had contracted COVID-19 and has been hospitalized and is getting treatment for pneumonia.
Sucks for him.
When you're 91 years old,
yikes,
you shouldn't make bold claims about something that statistically is very likely to kill you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really easy to go for the low bar here and you say, well, you know, who's he been fucking? But I think God is more of a dick than that. He's not going to punish just the people who, the men who fuck other men. He's going to mess with everybody equally. And so this guy doesn't even have to be gay and still get struck down
right.
by his angry, revenge-seeking God.
Well, we all know that God is nearsighted or something and has horrible, horrible aim.
Yeah.
Like, he keeps trying to hit San Francisco for being so angry with the gays and keeps hitting New Orleans.
It's amazing how that happens. The South is magnetic, I guess, to smite.
He just can't quite get those hurricanes to actually smite get into the magnetism. Right ocean. And yeah, apparently instead of getting, you know, the Netherlands, the head of the Dutch Reformed Church for being cool with gay marriage, you got the Patriarch of Kyiv and all Rus.
Yep.
And also, this is one I absolutely had to cover because of that recent schism. And,
yes.
And, yeah.
And you love saying that word so much.
Schism?
Yep.
Yeah. And also, just, you know, Kyiv and all Rus is fun. Moving to a different primate.
Yeah.
Pope Francis has finally been seen in public wearing a mask. And he did that while appealing for the faithful to look out for the health of others during this pandemic. Okay, and it's not necessarily that he's never worn a mask in public before, but he was seen. It was noteworthy that he was wearing a mask. Great. And then as the car pulled into the San Damasco courtyard inside the Apostolic Palace, he removed the mask and then resumed his weekly public audiences after those had been shut down for 6 months over the pandemic.
Yeah.
And they had the chairs spaced out and they limited the size of the crowd. But as he passed by, people were lowering their masks to call out for him. And he kept trying to keep his distance from the crowd. Kept asking people to stick to their seats.
Yeah.
And
it's really sad when your devotees are causing you imminent danger like that.
Yet he still greeted well-wishers enough that his aides were having to give him hand sanitizer, like squirt it onto his hands.
Yeah, that's not going to save you from breath, though.
That's because he's shaking hands. Yeah. or letting them kiss his hands. It's probably he's letting them kiss his hands.
Well, I hope all those people are ashamed of themselves for putting an old man at risk for dying of pneumonia.
And the Pope should also be ashamed of himself for letting that situation happen.
Yeah. He's the Pope. He's going to get mobbed no matter where he goes.
Yeah.
He tried to do it in a controlled way, and of course, people broke the rules.
Now, he also could have left his mask on during that situation.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
And maybe gloved up.
I bet he has golden gloves.
Oh, I thought he sold all those.
Made of the finest Corinthian leather.
But yeah, he condemned, encouraged everybody to follow all the rules and wear masks, and condemned the politicizing of it all, and then took off his mask to greet the faithful.
Yeah, well.
And the headline that this got from ABC News, which I'm sure actually came originally from the Associated Press coverage, is Pope uses mask, sanitizer as he appeals for public health, leaving out the, and then he took it off to shake people's hands.
Yeah, they're trying to make him look good. It's hard to do, but they're trying.
And in California, where the entire Republican contingent of the state Senate are supposed to be in quarantine after having a close quarters meeting with somebody who tested positive for COVID, the Senate Minority Leader, Shannon Grove, went to a prayer gathering at the state capitol. This gathering had a permit for 1,000 people under the condition that they maintained social distancing and wore masks. There was at least three times that many people.
I was going to say, it's prayer, so they're going to break the rules.
People were shoulder to shoulder, and there were not very many masks in the crowd. Or on the face of Shannon Grove as she went up to the podium to say, quote, "I declare that all of this is over tonight. The remnant, the residue of this worship will saturate this ground and seep into that building." No, the residue of this worship will kill people.
Yep. It's going to stick there for a while. They just don't get it. They don't understand. I'm guessing, well, I don't know. Are Christians anti-germ theory? I mean, what's going on here?
Most aren't. At least haven't been.
Well, it's the stupid pray away the cancer mentality that people seem to have. Like, oh, sending prayers is going to actually help in any way, and it doesn't. And then when you do it in mass like that, it really, really doesn't.
Well, that this is the belief that prayer is powerful and mass prayer is even more powerful. And if you're gathering in prayer, God will protect you.
aren't you supposed to be, you know, keep the prayer to yourself anyway?
They ignore that verse.
Oh, okay. Convenient.
Yeah. They conveniently mark, in a lot of Bibles, they conveniently mark those words in red so that you know to ignore them.
Ah.
Those are all the words of Jesus. You know, giving to the poor and
all the good stuff.
Being nice to people and not waging war and
all that red junk.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. That they mark it in red to make it easy to know which ones to ignore. Yep. And in Indiana, Yergi State Road Barbecue was a restaurant that used to be open. The state mandate is that all staff and customers need to wear face masks. Pretty standard for, you know, restaurants right now.
Yeah.
He
probably should have been standard before, but whatever.
He rejected that and said that the state rules don't apply to him. So he got called before a meeting of the Wells County Board of Health, where he said, quote, God has given us a restaurant 3.5 years ago. It is his, and that's the way we view it. You people have no power over us. Christ is king, so you can't take my business from me when we are willingly laying it down. That must make tyrants angry, but it should soften the hearts that you oppress. End quote.
Yeah, anyway, did he lose his business license?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's exactly how that ends.
Yep.
And if he keeps going, then he ends up in jail. So, I mean, tyrants kind of win in this case.
Well, and what's kind of interesting is the members of the Board of Health, you can see sitting around their tables, spaced out, wearing masks, and the crowd who cheered him are packed together and not wearing masks.
Right, because they just don't care.
Yep.
They've made mask wearing political. It is a political statement to purposefully stay as close together and not wear masks as possible.
Right.
To prove to everybody that they're not spreading it.
Right. And this is,
even though they are.
And it's stupid for this to be a political thing because viruses kill people. This would be as dumb as saying that encouraging people to wear condoms to avoid sexually transmitted infections is a political thing.
It is. Have you noticed that one side promotes that and the other side doesn't actively? Well, it's not it's not like guns or a lot of these, anything that has to do with personal freedom is a political.
Okay. So, what's not political at this point?
Conservation is about the closest.
Nope, that still is.
I mean, but at least they have people on both sides.
Oh, even saying that's a political.
Well,
saying
yeah.
Both sides.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so you're actually asking for something that is purely non-political.
Like, what's something that's not considered a political at this point? Definitely not sports.
Yeah, sports lost it.
That's been politicized. The environment, hunting, fishing.
Air pollution, water pollution.
Whitewater rafting.
Okay.
Whitewater rafting is still not... I can't think of a way that's been politicized.
Okay. I can, but I'm going to...
Oh, no. No, no!
Business regulations.
Eating vegetables.
Eating vegetables. Yeah, that's promoted by Obama. So... Sorry, Michelle.
All right, sending your kids to school. Yeah, okay, yeah. Books.
Oh, my God. How many book bans there?
The existence of books as a concept.
If we break it down to concepts, there are air as a concept is not political, but that's not how the world works.
God damn it. 2020 sucks.
Yeah. It's going to suck next year, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we have for this week.
Yay.
It is a slightly short episode.
Good. Yeah, you went on way longer than I thought you were going to. I'm going to go have some ice cream now.
All right. Well, and Lauren, thank you.
Thank you.
And until next week, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.